Speechwork Document 50. Revision of the Currency Laws. From the message of the President read at the opening of the first session of the 60th Congress, December 3, 1907. In my message to the Congress a year ago I spoke, as follows of the currency. I especially call your attention to the condition on our currency laws. The National Bank Act has ably served a great purpose in aiding the enormous business development of the country, and within 10 years there has been an increase in circulation per capita from $21.41 to $33.08. For several years evidence has been accumulating that additional legislation is needed. The recurrence of each crop season emphasizes the defects of the present laws. There must soon be a revision of them, because to leave them, as they are, means to incur liability of business disaster. Since your body adjourned there has been a fluctuation in the interest on call money from 2% to 30%, and the fluctuation was even greater during the preceding 6 months. The Secretary of the Treasury had to step in and by wise action put a stop to the most violent period of oscillation. Even worse than such fluctuation is the advance in the commercial rates and the uncertainty felt in the sufficiency of credit even at high rates. All commercial interests suffer during each crop period. Excessive rates for call money in New York attract money from the interior banks into the speculative field. This depletes the fund that would otherwise be available for commercial uses, and commercial borrowers are forced to pay abnormal rates so that each fall a tax, in the shape of increased interest charges, is placed on the whole commerce of the country. The mere statement of these facts shows that our present system is seriously defective. There is need of a change. Unfortunately, however, many of the proposed changes must be ruled from consideration, because they are complicated, are not easy of comprehension, and tend to disturb existing rights and interests. We must also rule out any plan which would materially impair the value of the United States 2%, bonds not pledged to secure circulation, the issue of which was made under conditions peculiarly creditable to the Treasury. I do not press any especial plan. Various plans have recently been proposed by expert committees of bankers. Among the plans which are possibly feasible and which certainly should receive your consideration is that repeatedly brought to your attention by the present Secretary of the Treasury, the essential features of which have been approved by many prominent bankers and businessmen. According to this plan, national banks should be permitted to issue a specified proportion of their capital in notes of a given kind, the issue to be taxed at so high a rate as to drive the notes back when not wanted in legitimate trade. This plan would not permit the issue of currency to give banks additional profits, but to meet the emergency presented by times of stringency. I do not say that this is the right system. I only advance it to emphasize my belief that there is need for the adoption of some system which shall be automatic and open to all sound banks, so as to avoid all possibility of discrimination and favoritism. Such a plan would tend to prevent the spasms of high money and speculation which now obtain in the New York market, for at present there is too much currency at certain seasons of the year, and its accumulation at New York tempts bankers to lend it at low rates for speculative purposes, whereas at other times, when the crops are being moved there is urgent need for a large but temporary increase in the currency supply. It must never be forgotten that this question concerns businessmen generally quite as much as bankers, especially is this true of stockmen, farmers, and businessmen in the West, for at present at certain seasons of the year the difference in interest rates between the East and the West is from 6 to 10%, whereas in Canada the corresponding difference is but 2%. Any plan must, of course, guard the interests of Western and Southern bankers as carefully as it guards the interests of New York or Chicago bankers, and must be drawn from the standpoints of the farmer and the merchant no less than from the standpoints of the city banker and the country banker. I again urge in the Congress the need of immediate attention to this matter. We need a greater elasticity in our currency, provided, of course, that we recognize the even greater need of a safe and secure currency. There must always be the most rigid examination by the national authorities. Provision should be made for an emergency currency. The emergency issue should, of course, be made with an effective guarantee, and upon conditions carefully prescribed by the government. Such emergency issue must be based on adequate securities approved by the government, and must be issued under a heavy tax. This would permit currency being issued when the demand for it was urgent, while securing its retirement as the demand fell off. It is worth investigating to determine whether officers and directors of national banks should ever be allowed to loan to themselves. Trust companies should be subject to the same supervision as banks. Legislation to this effect should be enacted for the District of Columbia and the territories. Yet we must also remember that even the wisest legislation in the subject can only accomplish a certain amount. No legislation can by any possibility guarantee the business community against the results of speculative folly any more than it can guarantee an individual against the results of his extravagance. When an individual mortgages his house to buy an automobile, he invites disaster, and when wealthy men, or men who pose as such, or are unscrupulously or foolishly eager to become such, indulge in reckless speculation, especially if it is accompanied by dishonesty, they jeopardize not only their own future but the future of all their innocent fellow citizens, for they expose the whole business community to panic and distress.